From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. La Crosse County has not been immune to a nationwide outbreak of whooping cough this year. More than 130 confirmed cases of whooping cough, or pertussis, have been reported so far this year in La Crosse County. That's a number that harkens back to life in the 1940s, before a vaccine was available. Last year, there were 34 cases, and La Crosse County averaged a half dozen cases annually between 2007 and 2010. While whooping cough cases seem to be winding down, there were some cases over the summer, and there is mild concern another outbreak could occur when children come back to school in the fall. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis interviewed La Crosse County Health Department public health nurse Christine Berth about the issue.
A whooping cough is caused by a bacteria called Bordetella pertussis. So that's why you hear it called either pertussis or whooping cough. It's whooping cough is the common term. But it's caused by a bacterium. It affects the respiratory system or the lungs. It usually will start out like a cold symptom or symptoms with runny nose, watery eyes, sore throat, might have a mild fever. That'll last for maybe a week or so. So sometimes people get those symptoms and they think they just have a cold or perhaps it's seasonal allergies. But those symptoms progress to a cough, and the cough is what will start out usually just a little bit of a cough initially, but it progressively gets much worse. So that people have spasms of coughing. Sometimes the spasms are so hard and forceful that people can't catch their breath. Their lips will turn blue. Sometimes people throw up because they're coughing so hard. People can actually break ribs, fracture ribs because of the coughing. So it can be very disruptive. It's very difficult to sleep because it tends to get worse when a person lays down. Over-the-counter cough medicines usually don't do much to help that cough. So it's a very debilitating illness. It tends to affect infants and children much harder, so it can be much more dangerous for them. Adults certainly get it too, though. Nobody's left out. Everybody can get it.
It's not your normal cough, right, as you've described, but it can often make a whooping sound.
It can. That whooping sound usually happens in children. Usually infants don't have enough oomph to get to that point. You don't usually hear it in infants or adults, for that matter. It's more common in children to hear the whoop, but it's a very, you can go online and hear video clips of what it sounds like, but it's very distinctive, and the coughing spasms are rather unusual that way.
What is the progression of whooping cough, Ben, this summer?
Well, we saw it emerge in the spring. You know, when schools were in session, it's much more easily spread in closed places. So within households, within school classrooms, you see it's much more easily spread because if somebody's coughing, the bacteria get in the air, other people breathe it. So it's much more easily spread that way. So we saw the whooping cough, the increase in cases occur this spring. And it's been continuing throughout the summer, however. And it has declined somewhat over the summer, and part of that may be due to the fact that people are outdoors more. It's not as easily spread when people are outdoors. But then we had the heat wave, and everybody's in the house and the air conditioning, so it's been kind of hard to keep track of. But we are looking to the school year starting up again and kids being in close quarters again. So we'll be watching things and encouraging, vaccination and trying to prevent it as much as we can.
Whooping cough has kind of gone underground, hasn't it, with the vaccine? I mean, we don't see a lot, or we haven't until this year, seen a lot of cases or a big outbreak of it.
Yeah, fortunately, the vaccines have certainly decreased the incidence of this significantly. We do still see waves of it, and there are certainly a lot of questions out there now why is this outbreak happening, when we do have vaccines? So the CDC has been doing some studies, and it's been interesting what they've been finding out. There are some theories as to why the cases have increased this year across the country. There are three reasons that they are noting as being possible reasons that the outbreak has occurred. One of them that is that there's just been increased awareness of what pertussis is. The last 40 years, there have been a lot of studies done, a lot of information out there. So people are more aware of pertussis. And they've also, in the last 10 years, there's been a new test that's been used to diagnose it. That's just more, it's more specific, it's easier to do, so more people are being tested as well. And then the third reason is they are looking at the vaccine. And they did change the vaccine in the 90s. Before that, the vaccine that was used was called DTP, which protects you against diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. It's been a combination vaccine. What they found, though, is it was very effective in preventing pertussis. However, there were side effects with that vaccine, particularly in children, and the side effects were very high fevers. Sometimes they'd have seizures. Some children would have uncontrollable crying for 24 hours. So they looked at the vaccine and tried to make it safer so that it didn't have those side effects. So that vaccine was changed in the 90s. And it's still DTP, but now it's called DTAP. And what they did is they changed the pertussis part of it. And instead of using the whole cell to make the vaccine, they just use a part of the cell. So it doesn't have the side effects, but it also, they're realizing it doesn't give quite as good of immunity as the old vaccine did. Looking at that, they ended up adding another vaccine booster, you know, because the vaccines ability to protect us, it does wear off over time, which is why we have boosters. So they did add a booster in 2006, and that's called a Tdap, and it's still all the same components, they're just different concentrations, so it's called a Tdap vaccine. So now our adolescents receive that when they're 11 to 12 years of age.
They're still studying the reasons why there are problems, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. I mean, historically, children receive five doses of DTAP, and then adolescents get a booster at age 11 and 12. It's now been recommended since 2006 that families that have infants also receive a Tdap vaccine, those adults and the caregivers that are around that infant. Infants that get pertussis most often will get it from a family member or from a care provider. And infants don't respond as well to vaccines. So the best way to protect them is to prevent the people around them from having pertussis and sharing it. So that's been a new recommendation since 2006 that adults and care providers and making sure siblings, grandparents, you know, anybody that's around infants, making sure they have their Tdap vaccine.
Who has been most susceptible to getting whooping cough this year? What age group?
The age group with the most cases has been the 10 to 14-year-olds.
Okay, but it's run the gamut from much younger up into the adults?
Yep, it has not been selective. Everybody has gotten it. There have been infants. There have been, we've had cases of people in their 70s. So everybody is getting it, but the hardest hit group, the highest prevalence is in the 10 to 14-year-olds.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. Our guest today is Christine Berth. She is a public health nurse for the La Crosse County Health Department, and we're talking about whooping cough, how it's made a comeback in 2012, and also about some other issues involving vaccines. We talked about some of the symptoms of whooping cough at the start. Mm-hmm. How is the illness treated?
It's a bacterial illness, so it's treated very effectively with antibiotics.
But it can be fatal, correct?
It can be, most oftentimes for infants. It tends to hit them harder. The vaccine series starts for infants at age 2 months. Before 2 months of age, they really don't respond very well to vaccines. So that series starts for them, and they get their first booster at 2 months. They get another booster at 4 months, and then again at 6 months. But still, for an infant, they still remain more vulnerable than the rest of the population to this infection, and it hits them harder. More than half of the infants that get pertussis need to be hospitalized. The complications are generally pneumonia or seizures. Some children that are hospitalized suffer brain damage, and some of them die.
The 10 to 14-year-olds are the most common category that are getting it this year.
Yes.
They are not as negatively impacted by whooping cough?
Generally, no. No, we've certainly seen some cases worse than others. A vast majority of the children that we have seen in La Crosse County have been up to date on their immunizations. The children that seem to be getting hit harder are those with asthma or lung conditions. It seems to hit them harder. It triggers asthma attacks as well, so it tends to get a little more complicated. The cough tends to last longer or be more severe for them.
Because it starts as more of a cold, it may take a day or two or three to progress to the point where you think about going to a doctor with it.
Yes.
And then if you catch it within that time, it's easily treatable? Or will it just run its course even if you don't go to a doctor?
Well, if you don't go to a doctor, it'll certainly run its course. You'll probably have a cough for a couple of weeks or several weeks. Some doctors call it the 100-day cough because it can last a long time. It can be very debilitating, but it will resolve on its own. Most people don't like to be sick that long. So if you catch it early, the antibiotics are certainly much more effective. Especially if you've been exposed to somebody that you know has pertussis, consult your doctor. What the health department recommends when during this outbreak, what the health department does is doctors report pertussis cases to us that are positive. And what we do then to help prevent the spread of disease within the families, within the communities, is we'll contact the family. We'll make sure they understand that the person with pertussis needs to be isolated for 5 days so they're not spreading that to other people. Once they're done with 5 days of antibiotics, they're no longer contagious. But we assure that they understand that that positive person needs to stay isolated. We see if other family members have talked to their doctors, usually within a household, especially if there's an infant in the household. It's recommended all the family members get treated with antibiotics to prevent getting pertussis. Because it is so contagious, it's more likely that people within a household are all going to get it. And then we follow up with the family, see if they have questions about immunizations, you know, provide them with additional information and recommend they contact their doctors.
With the start of the school year, is there some concern that we could see another wave of whooping cough?
We could, certainly. Once kids are back to school and in rooms and in confined spaces, kids aren't always the best at covering their coughs and washing their hands very regularly, so it is very easily spread within classrooms.
What role does the La Crosse County Health Department play in the vaccine tree?
If someone doesn't have a healthcare provider,
right.
Yes, we do. When we get those positive cases reported to us and we contact the families, we certainly have come across families that don't have health insurance. So we try to connect them with resources for antibiotics, especially those adults if they don't have health insurance. We do offer the booster, the Tdap booster at the health department. People can just call the health department to get information. We do appointments 5 days a week.
Do you work with schools, though, to make sure that school-age children are following their normal course of vaccines they're supposed to be getting?
Yes. The school nurses monitor that, and there's a report that they prepare every fall that gets submitted to us, the health department. And what the school nurses do is assure that all the kids are up to date on their vaccines. And Wisconsin has an awesome coverage rate for school compliance, so we should be very proud of that.
And if they aren't, then do you go into schools and help get them vaccinated? Or?
We do that with some schools. Yes, we did some clinics in August, and we'll be doing some more in probably September. We also do some flu clinics in some schools as well.
I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about some vaccines that aren't always the most common vaccines, but they're certainly recommended for especially teenagers to get.
Yes, and those two vaccines would be the meningococcal vaccine and the HPV, and those are two vaccines that are not required for school. However, they are still recommended by doctors, and they are both recommended for 11 to 12-year-olds, and the meningococcal vaccine protects against meningococcal disease. That's a bacterial infection. It's most common in teenagers and young infants. But it's a very scary infection. It's fortunately not very common, but When it does happen, people that are infected, they get sick very quickly. Usually within 24 to 48 hours, people that get infected with meningococcal meningitis, they are usually hospitalized within 24 hours. Just over 1,000 people in the U.S. get meningococcal disease every year. Of those that get it, 10 to 15% of them die within the first 24 to 48 hours. And then another 10 to 20% of those lose arms or legs or become deaf from the infection. So it's a scary infection, and it hits quickly. So it's nice there's a vaccine to prevent that.
You'll hear about it occasionally affecting a high school student or somebody in a college dormitory, and then there's an outcry and a need to get people vaccinated who've been in close proximity.
There's some campaigns out there now that are promoting that awareness to the teen population, and the flyer is on a water bottle. It's shaped like a water bottle. It's trying to illustrate the fact that the reason this is spread so easily among teens is because it's spread through people sharing water bottles, people kissing, people in close contact, sharing food, and that's something real common in teens and college students. So, it's easily spread that way.
The HPV vaccine has been fairly controversial over the years, hasn't it?
It has. It's certainly raised some concerns. It is a vaccine that prevents reproductive cancers. So in that light, it is an awesome vaccine that we have something that can prevent cancers. I think the controversial part comes in because it's a vaccine that prevents infections that are sexually transmitted. So that's probably where the concerns come from. However, the HPV virus, it's human papillomavirus, the virus is very common, and about half of all adults and adolescents, half of those people that are sexually active are going to be exposed to this virus in their lifetime. So it's common, and it's out there. So it's because so many people do become exposed to it, the vaccine is more effective if you get it before you're exposed. So that's also why the schedule starts at age 11 and 12 in those early teen years. So it's a series of three vaccines. That way the vaccine series can be completed before a person has a risk of being exposed.
It's recommended for boys and girls?
Boys and girls, yes. They both get it.
What percentage of the population do we think gets that HPV vaccine?
Those numbers I don't have. It makes a big difference when a vaccine is school required or not school required. So, of course, the compliance rates with the school vaccines are very high. 97, 98, 99% of people are up to date on those school required vaccines. Because meningococcal and HPV are not school required, they're not those compliance rates or those rates of people receiving them is significantly lower. So we'd certainly like to see those higher.
Christine Berth is a public health nurse for the La Crosse County Health Department. She spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about the high number of whooping cough cases locally and across the country this year. On next week's show, we'll talk about a proposed grassroots effort that La Crosse County could be involved with that would reward counties with more funding for keeping people out of jail. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.